Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show. My name is Matt Anderson, and joining me is Justin Lyles of sportscapvalue.com. Alex is covering a recruit camp in Atlanta. I'm sure he's watching. He's going to criticize us all to the nth degree. But Justin, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Glad to be here for the whole show. So hopefully we can keep everybody entertained. So,
I hope you got a lot to say, my friend.
I'm ready to spew out the mouth.
I love it. I love it. Real quick, I haven't paid attention. What's going on with the PGA? Is Auberg still winning? I think he was winning last night.
No. He kind of crapped the bed, so to speak, on the back nine. He fell apart. Yeah, he was several over, three, four over, and finished like top five. And Cameron Young ended up winning, coming kind of back door and winning the tournament. It's wild.
Wasn't that a 5-shot lead? And Cam was minus eight, right? So it was 13-8. And
Yeah.
wow.
He had a 3-shot lead to start the day, and Cameron Young was five back from him. Yeah, that's correct. It's wild.
Did you have any optimal finishes in the players?
I had Justin Rose. He was like six back. He was in, had a good run yesterday, and he bogeyed 16, which is a pretty easy par five, and then ended up was like six back to start the day and didn't have a good day today. So I was hoping if he got around that eight or nine to start today, he'd be in good shape, but that didn't happen at the end of the round yesterday. I had Sepp Straka for a top 10, so that was nice. He about gave it away with a double on 18, but no winners this week on the PGA. That's okay.
It's just heating up, man. Before we know it, it's going to be Masters time. And then when Masters hits, man, it feels like there's a major almost every 3 weeks.
I
And
love it.
we're all going to be staying open, staying up for the open
That's
to
right.
watch that. But we got a lot to get to on the show tonight. Obviously, Justin and I have not spoke about Lamont Paris being retained on this particular show. If you've been living under a rock, Lamont Paris will be back next year. Jeremiah Donati, the athletic director at South Carolina, has put out a statement saying that they're going to give him what he needs. And if you listen to Lamont Paris talk at the SEC tournament before the first game against Oklahoma, kind of cat's out of the bag. They need more funding. They need more things to make this program run. We're going to have some SEC basketball tournament reactions that I want to get Justin's take on as well, because we had some almost Cinderellas in the SEC tournament. And what does that mean for a program like South Carolina going forward? We'll talk about some other conference tournament reactions. We're going to talk about the bracket. The bracket came out tonight, and I'm sure that's where everyone's coming from right now at 7 o'clock to watch late night Gamecock show. But we got the bracket. Justin and I will be here with Alex and Mitch Dieter Tuesday night to give our consensus picks for the bracket. But tonight, Justin and I will give kind of our dark horses, our Final Four dart throws, our national champions, if you guys want to get some early action in on that. And then let's see. I think that's about it. I mentioned that Florida swept the Gamecocks in baseball, so that happened. And I think Justin might do a pretty cool promo for folks who want to hop on to sportscatvalue.com. So stick around so you can get that promo code. We'll be around for the next hour. With that being said, we'll get to the chat box in a minute, but right now it's time for the late night Gamecock show.
Gonna turn on the late night show. Hear what's going down in Cooltown.
Welcome back into the Late Night Gamecock Show again. My name is Matt Anderson, and joining me tonight for the entire show is Justin Lyles of sportscatvalue.com. Look, Justin, we haven't had a great opportunity to talk here recently, especially not in a public setting. And I already see some comments coming in from Hayne, and then Harrison will talk about baseball. Don't worry, Harrison, we'll get there. But I'm going to let Justin start. And this is as good a question as any. So I'm taking out my name. I'm putting Justin's name in. Justin, please give us your honest opinion on the state of baseball. Oh, God, I thought it was basketball. We'll come to that. Sorry. Justin, Lamont Paris is coming back to South Carolina for another year. And I promise we'll get to baseball, but I'm sure he'll have opinions there too. But Justin, Lamont Paris is back. Do you have any faith in what Jeremiah Donati said in his press release?
Well, as far as faith, I don't know right yet. I would say I don't have a lot of confidence or anything. We'll see. Time will tell. I mean, I'm not surprised that they brought him back just because of, obviously, with the knee-jerk reaction from the tournament run 2 years ago, Tanner pulling the strings there, afraid that we're going to lose somebody when we don't really have a foundation for a basketball program is mind-blowing. And that's the situation that we're in, you know, 3 years later. So, obviously, this was a financial decision. And then for them to, you know, come out, we're hearing about putting the funds with the basketball program. My question would be, well, that should have been happening years ago. I mean, why are we all of a sudden saying that we're going to put funds to match everybody else? It seems like we're always a step behind it comes with the basketball program. So, I mean, that's a little frustrating as a fan and as a follower of the basketball team and wants to see them do well. I don't know what to take on Lamont. Obviously, him making the tournament, that's why he gets a fifth year. I mean, if he doesn't make the tournament 2 years ago, he's not the coach starting next year. I think we can all agree on that. I like the guy. I think he's a good coach. I just don't know if this is the right fit. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, as I was preparing for the show, and if I may, I kind of wrote down like five things when I was thinking about the program. And Matt, tell me what you think about this. You know, the first thing I wrote down was business plan. And you're probably thinking like, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, when businesses start, they start thinking about, how do we want to succeed? What's our strategy long-term, right? I don't have that as a program. I think Donati, the administration, and whomever, maybe certain folks of the board of trustees, what does this program want to be? You know, are we just going to be fly by the seat of our pants and just go as the wind blows? I think we really need to figure out who fits the mold of being a South Carolina basketball coach. You know, this is not a program that coaches are just knocking down our doors to come coach at. So you got to find that right person. It's kind of proven that getting somebody from the mid-major doesn't necessarily work. I'm saying that's not a route they should go, or maybe they should or shouldn't go. But you got to have somebody that fits the mold and aligns with what the administration is trying to do. And I see somebody that can build – you want somebody that can build this program slowly but surely, and where they can stay in that 10, 15, 20 years. That would be the most ideal thing, I think, for the South Carolina program. Now, that's easier said than done. And then that's when you've built a solid foundation. There is no solid foundation with this program, and it's got to start somewhere. And it's just the floor is not, let's make the tournament once every decade. The floor, I mean, let's try to make the tournament every year. I mean, South Carolina fans deserve that. I've been, you know, beating that from my chest year in and year out. Like, we just deserve better. Like, this one every 5-10 years is just absurd, and it's not fair. And South Carolina deserves much better than that. Much better than that. You want to add in on that, Matt?
Yeah, I'll say that I agree. The most successful programs in the country either have a head coach and a general manager, that kind of thing, that are constantly looking at the portal. Like Rick Pitino, he's my favorite example for this, because we all know Rick Pitino's success at Providence, at Kentucky, and then we know his success or lack of success in the NBA, but at least he experienced it, right? Came back, went to Louisville, has a national championship that banner does not hang at Louisville. Got the show clause, whatever. He got kicked out. Then he went to Iona, went to the NCAA tournament, and now he's at St. John's, and they just won the Big East regular season and conference championship, right? That's a guy that's done this for 40 years. Right. So you think about a business plan, that's a guy that can adapt and adjust. And he's done a very, very good job at mid-major, high major, whatnot. But I sit there and I think about like the last 3 years, I don't think that and I'm not saying you're a casual fan, Justin, at all, but I don't think people understand just the way that the game has changed from every level. When you have a Roy Williams, a Mike Krzyzewski, a Tony Bennett, all quitting and just saying, this isn't for me. Right. And then you have a guy that coached at Wisconsin as an assistant coach. We talk about Lamont Paris, had success under Bo Ryan, went to Chattanooga mid-major, and then all of a sudden he's thrust into every possible changing landscape that you can get to. Right. I think when Lamont Paris answered the question about the future at South Carolina and being retained, he said things have changed. Like, it was an honest answer. I know that a lot of people say it was a word salad, but I read honesty into it because they probably do need a general manager. This is professional sports now, whether people want to say it or just, you know, throw it under the rug. It's professional sports. And I think this program needs a closer. They need someone that can identify what talent's out there, what talent's going to fit. And South Carolina has not been at that place for the last two or three years. They have to get there. Now, it's hard for me to say like a five-year plan, right? Because like, I write five-year plans for businesses all the time. Right. That's what I do. Right. I'm almost a business consultant that's in the insurance industry. But at the same time, like, I can project 5 years in this economy. I can't project 5 years in college basketball because right. What's going to happen now is like, okay, we go to 11, 12 in NIL. And all the boosters, by the way, feel like we didn't give him enough. Like, it's not on him. It's on us. That's how the boosters feel. So if the boosters are going to start giving that money, what does that look like next year? I don't know. What does that look 5 years from now when there is no SEC because these major conferences emerge? It's hard to make a business plan, but they got to start, to your point.
Right. Yes, good point. And number two, I'll start with number two. I'll jump back in. Is I wrote down size, size, size. What I mean by that, I can tell you within two or three games whether this team will be a tournament team just by their size. And if when you're watching all of the folks on here, when you're watching the conference tournaments that happened this weekend and even into the NCAA tournament, you will see how apparent it is. It's all about size. I'm not saying you got to have the best players in the world. You got to have size to be physically able up front, down low, like to bang on the boards. We don't have that. I mean, I'm telling you, just the look of it, the evaluations was not there, regardless of NIL or what have you. Paris has to do a better job of evaluating and scouting to bring in the right players. And then number three,
Jess, I'll take you from there with like the big. I don't think that South Carolina in the SEC is in a position where they can be positionless basketball. That's the hot new term. That's what the NBA does. That's what Coach K did before he retired from Duke. You hear Bill Self talking about it, but Bill Self doesn't enact it. He wants every player to be a threat to score. That's positionless basketball. Everybody doesn't need to be a threat from the three-point line. Right. Five out is not an offense, right? Unless you have really quick and agile guards that – you know, you have let's just call it a spread the court four, who is your center and is setting good screens and also popping out for threes. You can't do it. So I do think that size matters. They're going to have to get 3 to 4 legitimate big men for the SEC that are athletic, that can get those lobs, that can box out, can rebound. Because I don't know how many games South Carolina got out rebounded this year, but I would venture to say it was 80 to 90% of them.
Yeah, and that's it's not just down around the rim. It's the small forwards, you know. It's even the guards, like in all, you know, all phases, front and back court. Size is key, and I keep harping on that, and I'll keep pushing that till the day I die. Number three is guard play, most important. You know, we went to the tournament 2 years ago. He hit a home run with Talon Cooper, and you need somebody like that that can get a bucket when another team goes on a 5-10-0 run. You know, that can get you out of that rut or can take over a game. It comes down to a 1-point game possession. You put the ball in their hands, you know that they're going to the free throw line, going to hit two shots, or can get to the open man who can hit a shot for us. I think that's key. And then number four is you got to flip the roster. You're talking about a 4-14 in conference play. That's not screaming that you need to bring anybody back, to be honest. And I mean, I'm just being real. Like, there's no size on this team. Does Knox have any eligibility? Is he gone? Because I can't remember what year he is.
He's gone.
So yeah, So this is a brand new roster. If I'm trying to make it to the NCAA tournament, which I think the goal should be, we have to flip the roster. Unfortunately, you have to think here with your head and not your heart as a fan. And at the end of the day, this is a business. And I hate to be so blunt about that. And then number five is I wrote down crazy discounts. And what I mean by that, you got to get fans back in the seats. And I know it comes with winning, but you almost got to get the tickets away and give crazy food and beverage discounts. You got to start getting folks to come to the games in some form or fashion. Unfortunately, I hate to say that. That's what I wrote down in the number five hole.
Well, here, Justin, what I'll tell you is that, like, men's basketball, like, and I'm going to do some inside baseball here, they don't actually make a lot of money on tickets and on concessions and merchandise. Like, all that money comes from the SEC for the media rights. And if you go back and look at what the women did that they were so successful in, is it didn't matter where you sat, the tickets were the same price for the most part. It was first come, first serve, get the best seats, and discounted merch, discounted concessions, whatever. They have to do that. I mean that is a no doubter, because you can't ask fans to be spending, like $30 a ticket times whatever 20 home games and expect people to do it. Like, if you suck, realize you suck and get people in the games and get them excited and give people opportunities that, this is going to sound terrible. Like the boosters that I talked about earlier, they go to the games, they sit there, or they give their tickets away because they're busy. And that's because they have, for lack of a better way to explain this, they have more pressing matters than to be at a South Carolina basketball game. They have people they'll give them to. They don't care. It's a tax deduction for them. They're just writing it on their tax deduction. So, but like the most passionate fans that I know are the people that don't go to all the games, the people that watch games on TV. Like, build that back up, and I don't know how you fix it over time so those people can still be at the games, but do that. I do want to get some questions here. And I agree with all five of your points, Justin. I think those are all fantastic. I hope we can get those cut up and put on YouTube. But Hain asks, Matt, do you have confidence in Lamont's evaluations of players? I do have some confidence. I don't have a lot of confidence, but at the same time, there are so many moving pieces to the transfer portal and getting players. And I know for a fact, and I'll just say it, I really don't care. Chris Asondico might have been the first person they signed from the portal or whatever it was that was a big. He was like eighth on their list. And at some point, they just got to get a seven-footer, right? And he wasn't very good. Jamari Thomas was like eighth on their list. Why they didn't get him, why they didn't get another guy, I can't say. I don't know if it was evaluations. I don't know if it was money. I don't know what it was. But like, that was not the plan. So I try and say that, like, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, Hain. Like, are his valuations bad, or was the money bad? Is it Lamont Parrish's fault to say, hey, $6 million ain't going to cut it in 2026 in the SEC? Or is it the athletic department to say, hey, Lamont, $6 million ain't going to cut it in the SEC? Or is it the boosters that now realize that, hey, we were only given this amount? I mean, I hope you guys all understand that football takes 80 to 90% of like rev share. So when you break that down, then you can't really throw a lot of money at men's basketball without boosters. Clemson does a great job. Clemson has three guys that give $5 million a year to the roster that they don't even touch rev share. So can South Carolina get there? I don't know. I do see Andy in here saying, I'm done. Call me when you want. Call me what you want, blah, 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 email Garnet Trust, Gamecock Club today. I don't blame you, Andy. Like, literally, like, unfortunately, I don't think that, Andy, they're relying on your contribution to make it work. Like, fans' job is to fill the arena up and to make it loud, make it an imposing place to play. If you want to buy concessions, you want to buy merchandise, you want to do all that, be a member of the Gamecock Club if you're so inclined. But I don't blame you, because what you're paying for, I mean, Justin, did you go to any basketball games this year?
No, I did not. And I used to go to a lot. Exactly. I used to go to a lot. I mean, that's the thing. Like, even when we were winning, like I would say winning like 2 years ago, I was going to a bunch of them, and I would like, fortunately I was sitting with some boosters and we're sitting in one of their suites, and I would go out to this actual seat part, right, you know, where you're out into the arena, and I'd look to my left, I'd look to my right, and this be like, you know, we're definitely going to make the tournament at this point, and there's like half of the suites are not even like the lights are off, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a participation thing. It's probably a cost thing, an overcost by the administration, I think, on charging some stuff. There's some updates that need to be made along with Colonial Life, I think. That's another whole story. We don't have enough time for that. But at the end of the day, you know, I talk with boosters that are big time. I mean, like you said earlier, these boosters are more passionate than your average fan because they donate a lot of money and they're not stupid. There's a reason they got a lot of money, and they want to see this program succeed. So when any program of the major sports or what have you is not doing well, the temperature rises, so to speak.
And it's hard too, because like I see a lot of Ray Tanner backlash, and I'm not saying Ray Tanner did everything perfectly. I can tell you that the athletic department was in the black, and that's his job at that point. Like, look, I think he mismanaged baseball. Absolutely. I think anybody would tell you that, but there's not a single fan of the country that wanted us or South Carolina to let Lamont Paris walk to Ohio State after year two. Right. You know, football, Shane Beamer, we'll see. We'll just have to see, but I don't blame any Gamecock fan for any of their feelings. You're 100% entitled to it. And like Justin said, like I watch all these games. I talk to you about it on Sundays. Justin comes in and he's doing gambling across the entire spectrum. And even he's saying, grew up a Gamecock, I'm not going. So I understand it, and don't feel bad about it at all. Like, don't let anybody shame you for that at all. Right. So I do want to get some quick thoughts. We're going to have to move along here kind of quickly, Justin. But when you look at the SEC basketball tournament, Kentucky, you know, won a game, won two games. They lost in the quarters. Kentucky's always going to do that with their fan base. I was surprised at Ole Miss, but that's just a classic example of a really good coach in a play every day type scenario, right?
Right.
Maybe didn't have the talent to beat Texas or Georgia based on the regular season, but Texas wasn't a world beater. Right. Georgia wasn't a world beater. They beat Alabama, which is a big win, and I thought that was the most impressive win that he had. And then they gave Arkansas everything they could handle last night. So my question is, do you think that the Gamecocks, you know, if they had been in Ole Miss's slot, right? So Gamecocks were the 14 seed. Oklahoma's one of the hotter teams in the country. Could we have seen an Ole Miss-like run from this Gamecock basketball program? I'll start with you, and then I'll say what I think, Justin.
You mean like if South Carolina can make a run with what we've got, you think you're talking about?
Well, I'm saying like even just this year, if they were matched up with Texas and they played Georgia and then they played Alabama, could they have gotten to the SEC semis?
I would say no. I just based on the body of work, I just think Ole Miss had a lot more talent there. They just didn't get a whole lot. They just didn't get a whole lot out of what they were trying to do this year. And I think the reason they had a good run is because of that. Obviously, you're on day four of playing. So, you got to, it's nearly impossible to go five straight days all the way from those higher seeds. So I think they just ran out of gas, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that right now, like, the biggest thing for the Gamecocks going forward is to not play on Wednesday. It's such a big advantage to not play on Wednesday. So if you want to start with, like, micro goals or macro goals, however you want to look at it, a micro goal is to, all right, we're going to be in the set, we're going to be playing on Thursday.
That's right.
Right. And then if you're playing on Thursday in the SEC tournament, you're probably making the NCAA tournament. I mean, I'm looking at it. A&M's in, Oklahoma missed it, but they were on the bubble. Georgia's in, Ole Miss, you know, won a game. Tennessee, maybe I'm lying here because I'm looking at it. And then
Ten got in. Didn't
make it. But like that should be the goal next year. Is like, I think that, you know, you try and finish in that top 12 of the SEC top eight. And just eliminate the opportunity to have to play on Wednesday. And we'll see. Look, we have so much. I mean, the transfer portal opens April 7th. So we got, 24 days. I hope that I've heard that Lamont Paris and his staff are attacking this with everything they should, with more money behind them. But we'll just have to see. Any other things around the nation that stood out to you for conference tournaments? I mean, the big thing that sticks out to me, Justin, is St. John's beating UConn 2 out of 3 times and beating the crap out of them.
Yeah, I think that's back-to-back tournament champions they've won, championships they've won. I thought Arizona was impressive. I kind of watched that game yesterday. You know, Houston made a run, and I thought Arizona was going to fold, but Arizona's very impressive. I like them. I mean, Vanderbilt spanking Florida in the semis. A little shocked by that. And then you got to give Arkansas credit. I mean, for them winning the tournament, they're kind of hitting their stride. And I know we'll talk more about them maybe. We don't talk about them tonight. It'll be on Tuesday talking about the bracket. And then Purdue beating Michigan. I don't throw a whole lot into that, any much stock into that. So overall, I mean, it's March Madness is here, you know?
Yeah, and to me, man, like when I watch these conference tournaments, like you really don't want your seed to be impacted by a conference tournament. You don't want to be trying to play your way in to a conference tournament, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I don't hold a lot of weight in playing 3 or 4 games in 3 or 4 days. I think it's just which team's hot, which team cares the most.
Right.
I've had college coaches tell me, like, we just want to kind of like go 2-2 like you do in the SEC tournament. Like, you just want to get, you know, rested, refreshed, and ready to go for the NCAA. But I think it shows me a lot when you have a Duke, an Arizona, a Purdue, all like show up and play the entire time and win every game. And, you know, I thought Duke impressed me being down 2 starters to do what they did, even though I think the ACC is kind of crap. I don't think it's a really good conference. Arizona going through the Big 12, wow, as you mentioned. And then Purdue, the preseason number one team in the country, kind of looking like the preseason number one team in the country.
Yep.
So anything else there you want to talk about before we hit a break?
I just want to add to Virginia, too. I know they lost to Duke, but Virginia's kind of under the radar all year. For some reason, nobody's talking about them. And I just want to say watch out for them in the tournament. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about this South Carolina-Florida series and the loss to the Citadel that happened in baseball. And then we'll give our initial takes on the bracket. Again, don't feel like you have to write everything down here. Tuesday night, Justin, Alex, Mitch Dieter, who comes on every year, which he watches probably like 100 hours of college basketball a week. He's a psycho. And myself will be here to go through it. But we will give you some tips, some guys that we say, hey, look out for national championship run, Final Four run, that kind of thing tonight. But let's go ahead and hit a break, and we'll come back. We have to talk about baseball, so we'll do it.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck / trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now. FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome back into the Late Night Gamecock Show. I want to give a shout out to everyone in the chat box right now. XO has made it in. XO is normally the very first person to post in the chat row. So XO, man, hope you're doing well. Justin, I don't know how much of this, really quick, I should say that Alex did text me and say that, yes, he is criticizing us. So thank you, Alex Jones. We'll see you Tuesday night, and we'll give it right back to you, buddy.
I appreciate it.
So, Justin, I don't know how much of this baseball team you got to watch this week, but I'm looking at it right now, March 10th, I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I think Tuesday night, the Gamecocks mustered 4 hits against the Citadel, and they lost the game. Trying to figure out what 8-3, and then they got 1 hit against the Gators Friday night, lost the game 1-0. Then last night, the Gamecocks got 3 hits and lost the game, 3-0. So is it acceptable in your opinion to have basically like 5 hits over 3 games when playing the Citadel in Florida?
Of course not. You know, that's the thing. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we can't like hit our way out of a wet paper bag. Like, it's terrible. Like, let's be honest. Like, we're like supposed to be like one of the top baseball programs in the country, and we can't hit 9 and 10 year olds can hit better than we can. Like, what are we doing? So like, the pitch has been good the last year or two. It's been fine. It's been good enough to win. You know, you win championships on pitching, but at some point you got to score some runs. Last time I checked, you can't win games when you don't score runs. So.
Yeah, South Carolina, I believe, took a no-hitter, a team pitching no-hitter into the bottom of the 10th – bottom of the 10th against Florida and lost. I mean, I go back to 3 hits against the Citadel and then 3 hits against the Gators. Over 3 games, you're really talking about, 7 hits. And then they got 7 hits today, but guess what? They got run ruled 13-3 after 7 innings. So is it, I'm going to go back to what Hayne asked earlier in the very beginning of the show. Is it time to make a change at baseball? The Gamecocks now sit at 12-8, 0-3 in conference play. I don't see anything that's showing me signs of life.
Yeah, this is, should they make a change? It's going to happen if they don't make the tournament this year. I mean, he has to make the tournament or he's going to be out, no doubt. I mean, but I don't think they're going to make a change in the middle of the season. I don't know that does anything at this point, unfortunately. It may be another long spring for Gamecock fans at the ballpark. And you'll see it like with basketball. If the baseball team continues to struggle, fans won't support it. And that's going to be a huge telling sign again, which is going to be frustrating because baseball is as big as it gets for any program in the country here in Columbia. And not getting back to what we're used to is really sad.
Okay, I'm going to go a step further than you. I do think that a change should be made. I think that you have to send a message to Gamecock fans that say this isn't acceptable. Look, if you're Jeremiah Donati and you decide to not make a move from Lamont Paris, not make a move from Shane Beamer after subpar seasons, I don't think Jeremiah Donati has to fire Paul Mainieri midseason, but I would. I absolutely would, because I'm not even talking about people that are on this network. I'm not talking about JB. I'm not talking about JC. I'm not talking about Phil. I'm not talking about Will Crow. I'm not talking about Stuart Lake.
Right.
I'm not talking about these people that talk about baseball and care about it. I'm talking to professional scouts that say that Terry Rooney has no say in anything once the game starts, that Monty Lee has no say in anything once the game starts. So every time a pitcher is pulled, that's not Terry Rooney making that call right now. Every time there's a pinch hitter, it's not, hey, Monty, who's been swinging the bat well? Like, who can get us out? Who can get us an opportunistic hit here? So, like, if that's the case, and it really is the head coach making all of these decisions, not listening to the guys that are getting paid a crap ton of money, fire him midseason, because you're already paying these guys a lot of money. Let them figure it out. And I think it's time. I think they have to. Like, and they have to, because if there's any salvaging the season, it's not going to happen with Pulmonary. So,
yeah, can I add to that? You make a great point. You know, I kind of want to, you know, take back what I said. I think I agree with you now from the fact of you're looking at Monty Lee, and they, you know, he's kind of stuck around, and they had him as like the head coaching waiting or what have you, whatever they, you know, declared it. I think that's where the shot in the arm comes from, right? You just, you take care of Mineri, and then you make Monty Lee the head guy, right? Otherwise, if it doesn't work out in the season and you keep Mineri, you're going to bring in a new coach, and more than likely, you're probably not going to keep Monty Lee. That's just me thinking out loud here. So I think you probably give him the shot in the arm, the program a shot in the arm by making him the head coach. And I think you'll see a drastic change overall.
Yeah, and the most frustrating thing to me is that everyone bangs on Monty Lee about the way this team's hitting. The only thing that Monty Lee does at practice in the film room, in the cages, is help them with technique. And here's how you attack this type of pitch. That's it. And he has no say on game day. So I've seen enough. I've seen this team last year beat every non-power team they played, and then missed the tournament and not make the NCAA tournament because they lost every meaningful game they played outside of a couple. And this team's not having fun. This team's playing tight. This team, like, hurts me to actually watch. And I don't blame Gamecock fans if they don't want to watch baseball the rest of the year. Look, summer's coming. We got good weather coming. Like, I think change is made up. And if I'm the first one to say it, I'll be the first one to say it.
Think about this. We're the third best program in the state of South Carolina right now. Think about that, behind Clemson and Coastal. Like, nobody can argue that, and that's sad.
Well, when you look at this team lost to Queens College in a midweek. Right. I was at Francis Marion getting my MBA when Francis Marion beat South Carolina, and that was the best of South Carolina, right? They won a national championship that year, I think.
Right.
And I wouldn't take the Gamecocks over Florence Arlington Tech right now. Florence Arlington Tech knows how to win. They've gone back to back to the College World Series of JUCO. Like, it's really, really, really hard to watch right now. So I don't have a lot more to say about baseball. I don't know what to say about baseball outside of what I just said. JB will be here tomorrow. He's going to probably lay out a lot of things. You can ask JB all the questions, but for me, I'm going to watch it because, you know, even Ethan said in here, I commend you guys for sticking with the content. It's been a rough 12 months around here.
Amen.
I'm still going to be watching Gamecock baseball for y'all, so don't worry about it. Did want to get quickly here before we make room for the SEC Sunday night, guys. Off the cuff, Justin, were there any teams that you feel like should have been in the dance that weren't? Anybody in your snubs, anybody that was overseeded? We can take it all in order. We don't have to do it, you know, don't do it all at once.
Yeah, I thought maybe Oklahoma would have snuck in. They were kind of hot, you know. A little surprised by that. Not shocked that Auburn didn't get in. NC State is a play-in, which I was probably right with Texas. I'm okay with that. Just from a, like, over or under value seeding-wise in the tournament, in the bracket, I think Duke's probably got a pretty – straightforward run to the Final Four outside. I think they put UConn in the same bracket, so they potentially would meet up in the Elite Eight for a
pretty good game. John's as well, but
yeah, I don't.
Kansas, we'll see.
Yeah, I just don't trust St. John's. You know, they were really good last year until they really go on a deep run with Patino, and they had the potential to do that. I thought Clemson was probably a 5 or 6 seed. They're an 8 seed. Unfortunately, they put them in the Florida bracket, and they would face them in the second round, which is a tough draw for Clemson. I know that's our rival, but just calling it like I see it. I think in that bracket, I mean, I think it's probably I don't know about Illinois. I don't trust Nebraska. I like Vanderbilt in a good spot to knock off Nebraska in that second round, maybe to make it the Sweet 16. And then I think, not real sure why they put four SEC teams in the West bracket. That's kind of crazy. Arizona, I really think Arizona and Arkansas is really the two best teams to come out of the West. I think that's pretty straightforward. I don't know that I trust Purdue. I know they're hot. They were number one team. Gonzaga's overvalued at the three seed. I just don't trust them in that spot. Arkansas maybe a little bit undervalued in the four. And then in the Midwest, I think Michigan pretty straightforward there. I think them and really the only – I talked about Virginia earlier at a three seed, maybe the only team that might beat Michigan out of that bracket.
Yeah, off the cuff, just my like initial takes here, Justin, I do think it was the right move to put Miami, Ohio in the playing game.
Yeah.
I think that was the right thing to do. I'm looking at some of these lines here. Man, I mean, I'm probably going to take SMU. Like, to put it this way, like, for people that were harping on Miami getting in the tournament, yeah, they should be in the tournament, but they're an 8.5-point underdog to another playing game. So that kind of tells you that story. I feel bad for Bob Ritchie at Furman running into UConn in round one. We'll see what happens there. UCLA is playing really, really good basketball right now. Them as a 7 seed, I don't think UConn's thrilled to potentially have a second-round matchup with them. You know, the Duke bracket is what I'm looking at right now. I hope we get another Duke-Michigan State NCAA tournament game. Those have always been great. So I'm looking for that. The Kansas storyline with Darren Peterson, if he plays, if he doesn't, like, I can promise you right now, I can see Kansas making the Final Four if Darren Peterson plays and they figure it all out, but St. John's ain't going to take it light on Kansas. Those are some grown men. Arizona looks pretty straightforward. I'm not worried about them. Arkansas can be hit or miss. I will say that Darius Acuff is probably one of the best college basketball players I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
Then you got the lower part of that bracket with BYU, AJ DeBonza. He can score 40, but they might. I don't know who they play. I guess they play Midwest. So they'll play the winner of NC State Texas. That'll be a good game. I don't believe in Gonzaga. I'm kind of like you. Purdue's playing as good a basketball as I've seen them play. Even if you look, so for those of you that don't know, Bart Torvik has this really cool thing where you can go on his website and you can look at from date X to date Y. So you can do like from the last month of the season to today. So you go like February 15th to March 15th. Purdue, despite their losses, is still a top 10 team in the country. So they're pretty scary to me. UCLA, surprisingly, is a top 15 team in the country. Michigan, I don't really hate anything until they play Alabama. But Alabama, I think Tennessee will get through. Virginia, like you mentioned earlier, Virginia's just a really good basketball team. Kentucky's not going to lose. They might lose Santa Clara, but they're not going to beat Ohio State or Iowa State, so they'll lose there. All right, so let's go ahead and really quick before we get out of here for SEC Network, Justin. I know I've been kind of rambling looking at the brackets. The first I've seen it. All right, who would you take to get through the East as things stand right now before you do all your research?
I would take Duke.
I think so too. St. John's is sneaky to me. In the South, I think this loss was good for Florida. I think it was good for them to get pretty much, you know, 17 bombed by Vanderbilt, maybe a wake-up call.
Yeah.
I still like Houston a lot, but I think I take Florida over Houston.
Yeah, I like Florida. I think Houston's good. I just don't know that Houston can score when they need to. They seem like to be that traditional, like they really are physical and good, you know, defensively, but they just can't get the baskets when they need to. So I like Florida.
Go over to the West, man. I mean, this one kind of looks like an Arizona-Purdue clash to me. Purdue might lose to Gonzaga, but I don't see anyone else they're going to lose to because they score points, right? Like, there's nobody here that really looks like an elite defensive team outside of maybe Gonzaga. So I probably like Purdue, and then Arizona is just a heat-seeking missile, y'all. Florida, Arizona, Duke, Michigan, they're all heat-seeking missiles. So I think I'll take Arizona in the West. What about you?
I think the winner of Arizona and Arkansas in the Sweet 16 is going to win that bracket.
Yeah, then you go down and you're looking in the Midwest. So Michigan does have a key player that's out, but then you look at the rest of that bracket, man, Iowa State's playing really good ball. Really good ball. I don't know if they can continue through an Elite Eight run to the Final Four, but smart money says Michigan for me.
Yeah, I just think Michigan's got the easiest bracket, in my opinion, to get there. Just a quick glance, I just like Michigan.
So we're looking at what we kind of agree on: Duke, we agree on Florida or Houston, then we like Michigan, and then we like Arizona. Like, if we're just weighing odds here.
Right.
So if that happens, man, I would love to see a Florida-Duke matchup. Florida almost nipped them despite being down 10 points in the beginning of the season. And then you got Michigan and Arizona. I think Arizona's playing better ball. Let's look at a national championship game. Until somebody beats Duke, I don't know how you can pick against them. But Florida, man, they're really good. All right, so give me your national championship game and winner. And this is all going to change by Tuesday probably.
So the East will play the
– East will play South. The South. And then West and Midwest.
Okay, so Duke playing Florida and then Arizona playing Michigan. So I would say – I'm going to say Arizona and Duke for the title.
All right, I agree with you. I think that's where I lean right now. Who do you have winning it?
As much as I hate Duke, I think they're going to get it done this year. As much as I hate them.
It's tough for me because the top of the Big 12 has been so good and Arizona is so battle-tested.
They look so good yesterday. I want to bet them, but they just have not done anything. Like, growing up as a kid when they were just really good, like, I remember them battles and playing Duke in the national title. And this, I mean, they were just so good. And I just loved them back to the Lou Olsen days. I'd love to see Arizona get another national title, but yeah, maybe they get it done. They looked good against Houston yesterday.
I'll go Arizona over Duke because honest to God, I think Arizona has the best jerseys in the country.
They're awesome.
I love Arizona jerseys.
They're beautiful.
I mean, you go through it like, yeah, Duke, North Carolina are classics. Who else? Michigan State has a classic jersey. UCLA is just so old school.
Yeah.
Trying to find another one here that I really – Kentucky, they're good. Michigans are good. But, you know, like when you're talking about when we were growing up, like those Arizona basketball shorts, if you had them.
Yeah. Old Mike Bibby days. Oh, yeah.
Richard Jefferson, Gilbert Arenas, Salim Stoudemire.
Yes, they had some players.
Well, we're going to get out of here for tonight. Don't forget, Tuesday night, we're going to have our consensus show where we'll come together as a foursome and make a pick. We'll make sure we put it in the Chiefs Sports Network inside the Gamecocks Bracket Challenge and see if you can beat us. But real quick, Justin, I think that we were talking about doing a promo for March Madness. Have you decided what we're going to do yet, or is that going to be Tuesday?
No, we're going to go ahead and get it out there, set it up, and this is, I'm feeling friendly, so to speak, Matt. So we're going to keep all the folks that have tuned in, to the show tonight. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your girlfriends, whatever, what have you. I don't care. When you sign up, the discount code is NCAA Tourney, all capital letters. 14 straight free days. You're hearing it right here. Nobody does that. 14 gets you to the Final Four. You heard it here first. Sports Cap Value. We're dropping bombs. We're dropping breaking news. NCAA Tourney discount code at checkout. 14 straight days for all.
All right, Justin, how do we spell tourney? Because I might spell it differently.
T-O-U-R-N-E-Y.
All right, so NCAA Tourney, all caps, inside the Gamecocks. Phil, best producer in the world. Sorry, Alex, you're not here. Phil's got it for you. Sportscatvalue.com, NCAA Tourney. get 14 days. That's gonna give you a lot of games.
Yep, that'll get you all the games, the first four rounds to the final four, golf as well, NBA. You get them all, 14 straight days.
Love it, man. Thank you for doing that for all of our viewers, all of our listeners. That is very generous. So make sure you get it, and we will see you guys Tuesday night. I can't wait, man. That's going to be a longer show, just so you know. Yeah. So, you know, your spouses, just let them know, like, hey, I'm locking in for an hour or two. I'm getting my picks.
I got to go fill out a bracket.
Well, we will see y'all soon. We hope you all have a great rest of the night. Sorry the Gamecocks suck at baseball, but we'll be back soon. See ya. Bye, everybody. Take care.